Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the very first episode of the Grand Slam podcast here on the TV Zone Network. I am your host, the one and only Moneymaker Chris, and I'm joined by my partner in crime here, Mr. Jay Giles. Jay, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good, man. I'm excited to do this. When you told me about this podcast, I was excited. You know, I'm always down to talk sports, but I'm definitely always down to talk baseball, so it should be fun.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talk off and on about, you know, doing something like this, for a while, and then I decided to, you know, finally say, hey, yeah, let's put this on the network.
So, yeah, most definitely.
So here we are. And like I said to you before, too, like, you know, I'm going to use this as a way for me to get back into watching baseball, because I used to watch it a lot as a kid, and then I kind of fell out of it, but almost like it's calling me back again.
Calling you back. Come on back. Come on back. Awesome. Awesome. So, yeah, so I definitely look forward to this. This is going to be something, you know, fun. You know, we're going to talk, you know, baseball, you know, a lot of the different things going on. We had opening week this week. So, we got a lot of things we're going to get into this evening. So, let's get started. You ready to go?
I'm ready, sir.
All right. First up, it was announced, I believe it was last week, he officially announced his retirement. Ichiro Suzuki officially announced his retirement from baseball. And anybody that's familiar with him, I mean, he got his start in Japan. I mean, I was looking up his stats and everything when I was getting ready for the show, and I was already impressed with him. I was a fan of him and everything, but I was like even more impressed because I was looking at some of his numbers from like Japan, because most people probably know him, you know, from being in the American League, but he got his start in Japan. He played 8 seasons for the, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, the Orocs, Buffaloes. He played with them from 1992 to 2000, so basically 8 seasons with them. And he had some pretty impressive stats. He had a .353 batting average. He had 1,278 hits, 118 home runs, 529 RBIs. 658 runs scored and 199 stolen bases. He won 3 MVPs back-to-back seasons from 94 to 96. He made 7 All-Star teams, won Gold Gloves and everything. And said he won the Japan Series Championship in 96. So I guess that's like probably the equivalent of like the World Series here.
Yeah.
And then looking at his stuff from the MLB, from the major leagues, he had a career at batting average of .311, 3,089 hits, 117, I know, right? 117 home runs, 780 RBIs, 1,420 runs scored, and 509 stolen bases. And in his rookie season, he won the Rookie of the Year and he won the MVP. And he played for the Mariners, Yankees, and Marlins. And he had, he went back to the Mariners last year to kind of close out his career. So, what are your thoughts on Ichiro Suzuki as a player? And what do you think about, like, some of those, you know, stats and stuff that I mentioned?
I mean, starting with his stats and everything, I mean, that's pretty impressive, especially for, you know, I mean, I know the Japan, you know, Japanese game is a little different from, you know, MLB, of course. But he's one of the few that made the transition perfectly. And, you know, he came in with an impact, you know, right away. He didn't, it wasn't like he struggled or anything, because he was Rookie of the Year, and he was the MVP,
MVP in the same season. Yeah. I mean, how awesome is that?
Exactly. So, you know, he came in, he really adapted to the MLB game, and, I mean, he just was impressive. He was an international star, and it's kind of crazy, you know, that he's retired. It's funny, I'm thinking about it right now. He kind of is almost like the baseball equivalent to like a Manu Ginobili from the NBA. You know, he came over, and, you know, they adapted, and, you know, they put their stamp on the game. So it just, he brought his own type of flair, because he was a little different. You know, I always liked his baseball, you know, his stance.
He was. He definitely stood out. He was definitely a little different.
Yeah. So I like that about him. And because he, like, when he first came to MLB, that was kind of like around the time when I was starting to kind of lose interest in it a little bit or
At the early
whatnot.
2000s.
But yeah, so I would always watch the highlights and everything, of course, on SportsCenter and stuff. So I knew who he was. I always followed. It's like, okay, this dude, he's good. And I think he's had a really good career. And, I mean, I don't like to say it too much with anybody, but he's one I think is a surefire Hall of Famer, after his own career anyway. So.
Yeah, most definitely. He'll definitely be missed. And he was another guy, he was fast, too. I mean, he had, like, lightning speed. Oh, my God, he could fly.
He really was.
Now,
he really was.
Now, this is an interesting thing I want to bring up to you. Now, if you combine his hits from Japan and his hits from the major leagues, it's more than what Pete Rose's world. If you combine his hits, he would have 4,367 hits compared to Pete Rose's 4,256 hits. How do you feel about that? I mean, as far as, like, the quote-unquote, like, hit king and everything, do you think they should count his Japan stats, or does he just go just off of his MLB numbers, or how do you feel about that?
No, I mean, because it's two separate, leagues or whatnot. That's almost like saying, hey, we're going to count the dudes from the, from the minor league. We'll count their hits there, too. You know what I mean? Not saying that, Japan is minor league or anything like that, but...
Right.
It's two different leagues and stuff like that, but... That is kind of crazy, in the court. If you tally up all of his stats, it is more than what Pete Rose had. But technically Pete Rose, his numbers don't exist. So
that's right. He doesn't exist. He's not in the Hall of Fame. They just totally dropped him. Like, he's ripped off the face of the planet.
And the man should be in the Hall of Fame.
Most definitely. I mean, people have done a lot worse than what he's done. I mean, after all these years, I mean, come on now.
Exactly. It's a shame, but I've got to the point where I feel like he's going to get inducted after he dies. That's when they go.
You know what? You're absolutely right. They're going to wait until he passes away, and then they're going to induct him into the Hall of Fame. It's, he's no longer here, so hey, let's put him in the Hall of Fame. And that's a shame.
Just so he can't give a speech.
Exactly. Can you imagine that speech? Can you imagine what kind of speech he would give?
He probably cut a pretty good promo. I mean,
I'm sure he'd have a lot of stuff to get off his chest.
Oh yeah, especially how they kind of screwed him over. I mean, I don't think what he did as a manager should affect what he did as a player.
So, no, that's like nightmare. That's like two totally separate things. I know it's still baseball, but that's still like as a manager and a player. That's two separate things, I feel.
Exactly. I mean, if they could prove that he was betting on games when he was a player, okay, that's one thing. But they can't prove that. They know he did when he was a manager. So,
right. I don't know. That's a whole separate discussion right there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Any other thoughts on Ichiro?
Let's say he's one of a kind, and I don't think there'll be anyone else pretty much to come along, at least in the foreseeable future, that'll be like him, making that crossover transition.
So. Yeah, because like I said, it's not an easy thing to do. Go from the Japan style to just to the American, game and everything. That's definitely a big transition, and he did it quite well, I feel.
Yeah, and he didn't have any issues or anything like that.
No.
He played the game the right way.
Yes, he was a player. Alrighty. Up next. The big three contracts, I'm going to put it like that. Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout. Now, going into this offseason, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, they were the two big free agents on the market. Everybody thought, they're going to hit the open market. They're going to get these big contracts right off the bat. They got the contracts, but it was way late into the offseason. basically, spring training and stuff was going on, and they finally, got their contracts and everything. So, Manny signed first. He got his deal. It's 10 years, $300 million. And the thing with his contract compared to the other two, he actually has an opt-out on the fifth year for his. So, after 5 years, if the San Diego Padres want to opt out of his contract, they can opt out. But with Harper and Trout's contracts, both of their contracts, they're like no trade clause, no opt outs. Bryce got a 13-year, $330 million deal with a $20 million signing bonus. And let's see, Trout signed a 12-year deal for $430 million. And like I said, once again, no opt-out, no trade clause for him for that. But how do you first off, let's start with Manny and Bryce. Were you surprised that they waited so long to get contracts? Do you think they were going to be, like, you know, get signed earlier than what they did? How do you feel about like, the period of time before they actually got their contracts?
I mean, I guess they're, you know, for the deals that they got, I mean, there probably was a lot of negotiating going on and everything like that. And, I mean, they got their money. But it's just crazy how, you know, they got those deals and then, well, Manny got his deal and everyone's like, wow, look at that. Then Harper get his deal, like, whoa, wait a minute, look at this. And then Mike Trout, he just says, hold my beer. Look at this. Look what I had done. So, I mean, I think, like, once upon a time, you know, when we looked at that Albert Pujols contract, you know, that was like, oh my God. Oh,
yeah, that now, was a contract. That looks like nothing right now.
Now it's like, you don't even think about that because now, like, look at the deals these dudes getting, and it's crazy. And the fact that, for the most part, they haven't even reached their prime years yet.
No, they're still both like in their mid, like Harper and Mendy, like what, 25, 26 years old.
That's not even a prime.
Not even their prime years yet, and they're getting this money already. That's unbelievable, unbelievable.
But I mean, just to say all that, I gotta kind of be funny here when I say this, is where. I mean, they still don't have that Bobby Bonilla contract where he's didn't get paid.
Oh my God, that's one of the that's one of the most amazing contracts in like the history of all sports. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable how he pulled that one off.
I remember when that first happened. Like, is this a joke?
That's what I'm saying. Like, are you serious? Is this like real? I mean, you know, we've been pranked here. I mean, is that really the contract? That's unbelievable. He's still getting paid.
How long has he been retired now? Like, what, 15 years almost?
At least 15 years. And he's still getting paid. He even has a day name. I think he's got Bobby Bonilla day.
Yeah, it's crazy like that. But as far as these three guys, I mean, it's good. You know, they getting their money and everything like that. Just hopefully that they are able to play out those contracts because, I mean, even though baseball, you know, you don't really get serious injuries happening like, you know, like football and basketball, but still, I mean, freak accidents do happen.
Definitely.
Hopefully they're able to play out these contracts at the high level that earned them those contracts.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And as far as Mike Trout is concerned, are you surprised he wouldn't sign this early? I mean, he didn't, like, test the market and try to maybe go to a bigger market, go to maybe, like, you know, like Yankees or Boston or someplace like that. He decided to stay with the Angels, which is a pretty, you know, small market. I mean, out there on the West Coast, that's, like, you know, Dodger territory. Are you surprised he, you know, decided to, you know, re-up this early with his contract and not test the market?
I guess he just, you know, he feel comfortable enough and trust that, you know, their organization and just, okay, this is home. This is where I want to be. So, I mean, it's one of those things because, like you say, maybe he should have tested just to see, like, what potential he could have got from another team because I'm sure somebody would have, I don't know if they would have paid him that money or whatnot, but he still would have got a damn good contract.
He knew it. Probably, and like I say, would have still got probably more money than what, you know, both Manny and Bryce got.
Yeah, so, but like I said, I just think he just feel, you know, very comfortable with the team and everything like that. And just, like, this is where I want to play the bulk of my career. This is where I want to, you know, be. So
maybe so. And maybe he's one of those guys that likes, you know, enjoys being in a, you know, a smaller market. He seems kind of, you know, quiet and reserved. He's not like, you know, Harper guy that's more like, you know, flashy, you know, the hair going and the personality and everything. He seems more like reserved. Like, exactly. Like, so you don't hear a lot from him.
Really. Which is, I mean, it's a good thing, but at the same time, when baseball is, as far as popularity wise, it's not where it used to be. So you would want your star players to be, you know, at least some type of flashy a little bit. Not necessarily like, you know, over the top arrogant or something like that.
Right.
It at least, you know, every sport has a face to it. And baseball doesn't really have a face. And when one of your best players is like that, I think you need, he kind of needs to be more, I think, outgoing, at least personality wise. So who knows? Yeah. Maybe that'll change at some point.
Maybe so, yeah. Because imagine if he had Harper's personality with his skill set. So that would be like perfect.
Exactly. And then there's your face, and you can market a crap load around that. So.
Oh, yeah. You know, jerseys, you know, video game, all that good stuff. I don't know. I forgot what the commercial is for, but he's in a commercial with Andrew Luck. They have like some type of dance off. Have you seen this commercial?
Which one?
I forgot what it's for. I saw it last night. It's Mike Trout and it's Andrew Luck, and they having some type of like disco dance off. I forgot what the commercial is for, but I saw it last night. I just saw it last. I just can't remember what it's for though. I'm like, oh my god. I was like, that's probably like the most personality I've seen. Oh my god.
That's almost as bad as that freaking Derek Carr commercial where he, it's like a 90s pop singer or some crap like that. And it's like, what the hell are you doing, man? But
exactly.
Oh man.
Oh, it's for that, it's that sports drink. Oh, the Body Armor sports drink. That's what it's for.
Okay. Well, I have to check that out.
Yeah, check that out.
Just to see.
I tried that Body Armor. It's nasty. Have you tried it? The Body Armor, like that little sports drink. I think Kobe's got some steak in it too. It's like two different flavors. It's like disgusting. It's no Gatorade. And I'm a big Gatorade fan. I love Gatorade, but this is no Gatorade. It's disgusting. It's got coconut water or something, or coconut milk or something. It's wow. Was not good. I would not recommend it.
So basically, it's the equivalent of Daddy Ball's water hose water.
Exactly. Oh, good old Daddy Ball getting here on the podcast. But yeah, I'll stick with my Gatorade. I'll stick with my Gatorade. Thanks. Oh my goodness. Anything else on those guys before we move on here? Anything else?
It's gonna be interesting to see, you know, how they, like I said, just have to kind of watch. This is gonna be something to watch, especially with those three, to see like if the money or whatnot, you know, they kind of start slipping in their skills or whatnot. Like, oh,
they kind of limit these great contracts.
Yeah, so you have to watch that. I mean, I don't think they will decline or anything, especially like Trout. I think Trout, you know, he's a baller or whatnot. You know,
he's consistent, Mr. Consistent. Yeah. He's pretty consistent, seems like.
Now, your boy Harper, on the other hand, he's the wild card here.
He's the wild card in the bunch. Yeah. Most definitely.
We have to watch and see.
Let's see. Up next. Opening day. This was opening day or opening week, like they say, for the major leagues. I got to go to opening day this year. It's been kind of a tradition past several years. Me and my aunt, we go to opening day at Nats Park. We didn't do it so much for the Orioles. I guess maybe since the Nationals was a little closer for us, so we, you know, kind of, you know, made it our thing to go to the opening day games. And they lost, of course, 2-0 to the Mets. Scherzer pitched a great game, but we couldn't hit worth nothing. It was unbelievable. We couldn't do anything. I mean, it was a beautiful day. They had James Brown from CBS. He was down there doing, like, the announcing and everything, introducing the players. And he does that, like, the last, like, several years. Like, they have him there for opening day doing, like, the introductions and all that different stuff. Sometimes they might give out awards and stuff to some of the local people in the area and everything. So yeah, they actually was there, and it was good. Like I say, good day, beautiful day and everything, but we just lost. We lost again today too. So right now we're 0-2 to start the season. I mean, I know it's a long season, but
not a good start.
Not a good start to the season. But you got any predictions for this season? Like anybody you think, you know, World Series predictions, any division winners? You got any predictions for, or even before I get back to that, Have you ever been to like opening day, like games for any of the teams down there? Have you been to opening day for anybody?
I have not, unfortunately, because I live at least 2 hours away from both of the closest teams here in Florida. That would be the Miami Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays. I like how they both, you know, they changed their names, you know, in the course of the time that they've been franchises. You know, used to be the Florida Marlins, and they used
Florida
to be the
Marlins. Tampa Bay. Devil Rays.
They had to get the devil out.
Had to get the devil out. Ooh.
Right. So they're just the Rays now. But no, I mean, I live, like I say, at least a couple hours away from both of them. So I've never had the chance to actually go to opening day or anything like that. But I know that stadium down there in Miami, the new one that they put them in, is a very nice stadium, even though Marlins suck, you know. So, but who knows? Maybe in a couple of years, they might, you know, magically get another World Series team together and win one, and who knows what happened. But
yes, amazing. Like I said, the time they won the World Series, they said the team just like they split up the team like after they won the World Series.
But they won. Remember, they won in '97 too.
They won in '97 too. Yeah, they won those two. Yeah,
'97 and 2000. It's like and the year after both of those wins, they just blew up the team.
Like that's one of the weirdest things. I never understood that.
Oh, we won. Oh, we got to.
I'm like, oh my God, what do we do? Let's just blow up the team.
it's weird like that. And I mean, and I can say this because I live here in Florida, but Miami is one of the most fickle, you know, sports towns there is.
Yeah, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, when the team is not doing good, nobody shows up. But damn it to hell, when they start winning, and that's with any team across the board, they start winning, all the stadiums and, you know, the stands be filled up. People, fans, you know, they come out of the woodworks at that point. Everything. But when they kind of down or whatnot, just shoot, you would swear that there was no fans around at all. So it's terrible. But, I mean, so, like, going back to your other question, though, no, I mean, I think it's too early right now to kind of come up with predictions or anything like that as far as, you know, races and who might go to the World Series. But I think it's going to be an interesting season to watch and everything. So, yeah, just kind of, you know, as the podcast goes along, as the season goes along, you know, then I think I could kind of start to, like, I think the Orioles might do something. Or I think the Mariners might do something, though. Or hell, even the Marlins might do something. Yeah, I doubt that, but we'll see. We will see.
It should definitely be interesting. Let's see. Oh, Bryce Harper, he hit his first home run today. I mean, first day he went 0 for 2 with a couple of strikeouts, and he got booed after that second at bat. I mean, he came out there, got a standing ovation next year, and he, you know, bowing to the crowd and everything. And as soon as he goes 0 for 3 with 2 strikeouts, and they booed him all. I'm like, those Philly fans, man, yeah. They're not the fans here in D.C.
That's right. I mean, Philly is still known for being the town that, you know, booed the hell out of Santa Claus. So.
Oh, yeah.
If they boo Santa Claus, yeah. Definitely go. I think there's only, like, what, I think Allen Iverson and trying to think who else in Philly that, you know, was just beloved by them that you could never say anything wrong about. I think it's Iverson and maybe one other person. I can't even think of who else, but, you know, other than that, everybody else is fair game.
Yeah, so, I think so. Yeah. They do not play out there, so. I know how I feel about this, you know, since it's, you know, kind of personal with me as far as, you know, Bryce Harper and everything is concerned. How did, I'm going to get somebody else's perspective on it. How did you feel about him signing with the Phillies, signing with a division rival and everything? How did you feel about that?
I mean, okay, like I said, because I wasn't watching anything or following it as closely as you was, but I was surprised that he signed with the Phillies. I thought he would have tried to go to, you know, like a bigger, you know, franchise, like, I don't know, maybe the Yankees or even the Red Sox or something like that. Just, you know,
Dodgers. Just kind of, I think the Dodgers. He's from Vegas. It would have made sense for him to go out west. Yeah, that would have made sense.
Especially with the way the Dodgers are now. You know, they kind of came back into the spotlight and everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of those type of like big, big marquee name teams, especially with him, you know, making a name for himself now. What better way to go to one of those markets to be like, hey, I'm putting my, you know, my stamp into the, you know, MLB now or whatnot by doing that. But I've always had a problem, especially when guys do that, especially when it's a division rival type thing where it's like, it's almost like spitting in the face of the team that you're leaving. In a way, you know, and that's with any sport too. You know, you know what you're doing when you go into a rival of the team that you left. You know what you're doing.
Yes. Imagine like somebody like Derek Jeter. What if people went to go play for the Red Sox or something like that during his prime?
Well, I mean, freaking Johnny Damon, you know, he left the Red Sox to go to the Yankees.
Yeah, true. That is true.
Shaved the beard and, you know, looking like a freaking lawyer at that point. But yeah, I mean, it's... I've never liked when guys, especially when they're star players, when it's like role players or whatnot, they're trying to get in where they can fit in.
By any means necessary, they got to do what they got to do.
So you know they got families and stuff like that, so it's just wherever they can get in that. But when you're a star player like that and you can actually go pretty much anywhere that you want, you can just cast out and just see what bites from anybody. For you to go to a rival of the team that you're leaving or whatnot, I always feel like that's a slap in the face to the team that you're leaving in a way.
So. Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it took me a while to process the whole thing. I was like, oh my God, he's going to a division rival. Because if he went any place else, I probably would have bought the jersey and everything. But I can't buy my Phillies jersey. It's a Nationals fan. I can't do it. I just can't, man.
Conflict of interest.
Exactly.
It's like, what if Kobe would have left the Lakers and went to the Sacramento Kings?
Right? Exactly. Oh, my God.
Or went to the Celtics.
Oh, my God. That would have hit me, too, because I'm a big Kobe fan. So that would have...
It's crazy. Or what if Michael would have left the Bulls and went to the Pistons?
Or something like that. Exactly.
So, or the Knicks. You know,
I mean, how what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, so it's just, like I said, it's just a slap. I feel like that's always been a slap in the face.
And did you, I posted it in the group, I think I might have posted it in Facebook group, during his introductory press conference where he was talking and everything, he's like, oh yeah, and we're going to bring a title to DC. Did you see that?
Yes, I saw that.
Oh my God, I was dying laughing.
He's still a DC boy. You forgot who he was.
And he'll be here next week, next Tuesday, first time coming back. So like they, right off the jump, he's returning back to DC.
Are you going?
I got tickets. We supposed to be going to that one.
Okay, so make sure you boo him.
Let's see how he does against Max Scherzer, our best pitcher. Let's see how he has to do go against Bad Max. Let's see what he does against him.
That should be an interesting matchup, especially.
It should be very good. Well, I mean, saw him there because he pitched opening day. He's unbelievable. He's intense. He's got that like kind of sidearm whip, and he's out there pitching. It's something special to watch, man. He's one of the best pitchers out there right now. I like seeing him pitch.
Okay. Well, I got a question for you. So besides him, who else in the rotation you feel could have like a really good season in the pitching rotation?
Steven Strasburg. The only issue with him is he can't stay healthy. When he's healthy, he's easily, you know, one of the top pitchers in the game. But if he can stay healthy, if we have Scherzer, Strasburg, and this new guy we got, Corbin from Arizona, that's like, you know, a 1-2-3 punch right there at the top of your rotation. So I'm going to definitely go Steven Strasburg. If he's healthy and he's on his game, you know, we got, you know, solid pitchers that we can consistently count on.
Okay.
Right. That's pretty much all I got. Just a couple of score updates. Like I said, the Nationals lost today 11-8. Orioles picked up their first win of the season over the Yankees 5-3. Let's see. Marlins actually won. They beat the Rockies today 7-3. Phillies won down there. The Phillies 8-6. Like I said, Harper hit his first home run. Tampa Bay won 3-1 against Houston. A couple other games going on right now. The Cubs are playing the Rangers. They're in the top of the fourth. It's 4-3 Cubs. The Cardinals are playing the Brewers. The Brewers are leading that 4-2. Dodgers are tied up 1-1 against the Diamondbacks. That was a very interesting game opening day, too. The Dodgers hit 8 home runs. They said that's the opening day record. 8 home runs in that game on opening day.
Oh, I did have a question. Did you watch those games over in Japan? We had basically given like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
I didn't. I saw some of the highlights afterwards, but I did not get to watch them. No, I didn't. I almost forgot about them, to be honest with you.
Because, I mean, I heard them talking like on some of the sports shows about that. It's like they felt like MLB made a mistake by, you know, having those games like that, because it's like that's almost like a bad way to open the season with those being your first games of the season, but no one's really awake to even watch them.
Or right.
Or wake it up. You're going to work. You can't really sit and actually watch the games.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even try to watch them. Like I said, I wasn't, you know, getting up that early. If I happened to be up or something like that, I would have, you know, turned them on. But, you know, I mean, that is kind of awkward time, you know, to be having, you know, to do like that. But they've never done that before as far as I'm concerned. This was the first they did this.
I wonder if, like, are they trying to, you know, get more like a international, you know, fan base going or something?
Maybe so. Maybe they, you know, kind of do like, you know, how the NFL is doing, like kind of branching out, kind of, you know, getting, you know, outside markets, you know, more interested in the American game, I guess, maybe.
I guess so, but at the same time, going all the way over to Japan, I mean, they do know that time difference is crazy.
Yeah, that's a huge time difference, definitely, so. I don't know. Maybe they're just kind of testing the market to see how, you know, see how it works out.
I mean, we're wrestling fans, and, like, whenever, you know, they talk about, oh, yeah, like, if WWE is, you know, over in whatever, like, Australia or something like that, I'm not waking up at no 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to watch that. I'll watch it later.
I'll watch it later. Yeah. I did get up that for the time. What was that one? The Beast in the East? I did get up for that one. I remember getting up for that one. But most of the other ones, I didn't even bother to get up.
And I don't watch none of the New Japan stuff live. I mean,
I don't blame you.
But yeah, I think baseball kind of made a mistake with that. Now, if it was like in Mexico or, you know, something like that, then that'd have been different because, you know, same time zone, so you could have still had a decent time. But for like way on the other side of the world and 4 o'clock in the morning, no one's waking up to watch those games.
No, they're not. It's a waste of time.
It really is.
That's pretty much all I got. Anything else you want to talk about before we, you know, get up out of here?
No. I mean, like I say, this, you know, with the first episode, I feel like we just kind of, you know, getting into it or whatnot. And, you know, as the season is just kind of getting started, and I think the next episode will probably have more to go off of, as far as like what's going on in games and things like that.
Yeah, they've only played like about like 3 or so games so far. They haven't been playing that many games yet, so it's still the season is still very fresh. I thought I'd add some of the other stuff that we could, you know, kind of tackle on, you know, news wise and everything.
Yeah, because I mean, it's crazy how like a lot of sports are starting to like overlap each other the way they do. Because I remember once upon a time, like the sports didn't overlap because like right now everyone's kind of focused on March Madness. So in baseball, it's just getting, you know, going or whatnot. But March Madness is the focus. And
NBA is kind of wrapping up. They coming to the end of the season too. So
you got a lot of stuff going on. So I think that's probably why right now with the baseball games, it's like we're just trying to get in where we can fit in.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, you know, we're here too. You know, I know people are getting into March Madness and, you know, hockey's getting ready to, you know, their season's getting ready to end and everything too. But hey, baseball's like, hey, you know, we're here too.
Yeah, I mean, we're just getting here. I mean, they do have a long season. So.
They do. Oh, yeah. 162 games. Good. Oh, that's a lot of baseball.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I love baseball, but I don't know if I could do that either. That's a long and like I said, and then you make the playoffs too. That's adding even more to it.
Yes.
Jeez.
I mean, maybe 80 games for me a season. I could give you 80.
That's fine. That's fair. Like in NBA, you know, you got the 82 games. You know, that's reasonable. But 162 plus the postseason, you make the postseason too.
And if you go deep into the postseason,
like if you make it all the way to the World Series, good lord, you're playing almost 200 games, close to 200 games.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
I guess that's why they get the big bucks, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, shoot, they got the money and they got all those games to, you know, play and everything like that. They need it.
Yeah, most definitely. But yeah, this was fun. Like I said, look forward to, you know, what else, you know, we do, you know, throughout the rest of the season. Like I said, the season gets going, we'll have more, you know, stuff to chat about and, you know, to break down. And like I say, you know, this is fun, man. I'm looking forward to, you know, what this podcast is going to do moving forward.
Yes. So am I. Like I say, matter of fact, I might watch a couple of games tomorrow. That's all.
There you go. Anything you want to plug before we get up out of here?
Yeah, I mean, of course, Movie Talk, J Movie Talk, of course. Probably by the time this episode is posted, I will have posted my episode 115 as I'm going through the Nightmare on Elm Street series. I just recorded part 3, Dream Warriors, with guest Zena Dixon, as we talked about that movie. And that's kind of what I'm going through right now with Movie Talk. I'm just going through all the Nightmare on Elm Street, something like that. Just did part 3. So you definitely can check that out on the feed and everything. You can follow me on Twitter, of course, at JMovieTalk. Or my personal one, The J Giles, whichever one. Or both, because I'm on both and everything like that. But, yeah, that's pretty much for me.
Cool. As far as I'm concerned, you can follow me on Twitter, at Moneymaker Chris, as well as Instagram, DC Sports Fan 86. I'm a writer. Check out some of my writing. I write about sports, pop culture, and wrestling for the wrestling fans out there. Check me out on medium.com/@BrokenMoneymaker. Support me on Patreon. I got content on there. Patreon.com/MoneymakerChris. I have a Facebook page for my writing, The Cash In. I post a lot of my stuff there. And check out also another site I've been working with recently, MarylandSportsBlog.com. They cover a lot of the stuff in the area, like a lot of the local teams, the Redskins, Nationals, Ravens, and everything. And they even cover wrestling as well. I've done some reviews, recaps of NXT. I'm going to do a recap for this week's NXT as well coming up, as well as predictions for NXT Takeover. And you can get them a follow over on Twitter at MDSportsBlog DC, and it's also MD Fight Club on Twitter as well. That's for the wrestling content and like UFC stuff as well. So check them out. They do a lot of good stuff. So give them a follow.
Yes, and make sure you follow Chris on all his stuff because he's very good at what he does.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Most definitely. Thank you. Any last words? Anything last words, guy?
I mean, I don't know if this is gonna be like my every episode of the last words, but play ball. for the Sandlot. That's the Sandlot.
So. Sandlot. Yes. I like that. Like that. One of my favorite movies. Awesome. Last words for me. Bryce Harper, see you next Tuesday at Nats Park. You're taking on Mad Max and the Nationals. See you next Tuesday.
Peace out.
Peace out, guys.